What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God, find victory and maturity in Christ Jesus. Today, I'm talking about five kinds of love and the number one love that matters the most. So I've talked about love in the past, a godly love, and that's been one of the most shared articles on my site. But I want to talk about it again because there are other loves that we need to understand so that we can differentiate how we feel and what God is requiring of us when he says that we should love each other. So the English language groups different emotions and actions together and calls them all love. This confuses what people feel about each other and how his children are to interact with the world. So here's what the English definition of love is. A deep, tender feeling of affection toward another person, an intense emotional attachment or feeling for a person, place or thing, a feeling of intense desire and attraction toward a person with whom one is disposed to make a pair, romance, sexual passion, sexual intercourse. So that's encompassing a whole bunch of stuff. We got affection, we got all the way down to sexual intercourse. So this is a problem. And so I just want to go over the different loves there are, or feelings or actions that. So the Greek language reveals at least five kinds of love. I've even found online that there are seven, you know. But we're just going to talk about the five. Three of these are found in the Greek text in the King James Bible. The first one you'll find a lot is agapeo. I would call this a general love. In relation to persons, it's being welcome. It's being entertaining to the person, to be fond of the person, to like a person, have affection for them, and to say to love dearly. And then to things, to be well-pleased, to be contented at and with a thing. So people say they love pizza, they love chocolate. That's what they mean. They're well-pleased with it. And we kind of can all understand that. All right. There's another love called storge, and this is a family affection. And the next love is filial, which is a friendship affection, a deep connection with a person that's not blood related. Okay. And if they are blood related, it's a deeper connection. So it's closer than a family connection. And then it also even mentions to kiss on the end of that. So, you know, if somebody, has that level of love, that's what they do. You see that in the Gospels where, you know, one of the apostles kissed another apostle, stuff like that. Of course, there wasn't no gay stuff going on, but that's what the level of love they have for each other. They have filial, a friendship affection. Then there's another love called eros, or erotic love. This is sexual attraction and desire and affection, all centered around sex and lust, which is strong desire. All right? So, in all of these definitions of these different loves here, and we haven't done the last one yet, the fifth one, you'll see a common thing, affection, liking, bond, fondness. This is what's going on with these particular loves here. Eros, filial, storge, agapeo. These are emotions that create a connection that foster an outcome. So one of the outcomes is forming oneness between husband and wife. Procreation. We know that eros is what's going to lead to procreation. We have bonds between parents and children. So now that their children are there, the parents need to have a connection between their children and themselves. Then out of that comes families, you know, siblings loving each other or having a connection with each other, tribes, then nations. And then you also have groups and just plain on unity within those groups. This is all biological, okay? Before I get to the last form of love, these are all biological. They happen because God put that in us. In order for a family to stay together, they have to have a feeling of likeness toward each other. So it's a normal process to feel that way. Okay. In order for us to procreate, we have to have sexual attraction. We have to desire to have sex with whoever we come across. So I'm going to talk about lust in another sermon, but I just want to be clear with everybody. Lust is not a sin. And a lot of people believe that because the Catholic Church taught them that. And we'll talk about what the Catholic Church was trying to accomplish with that teaching. But lust is a biological occurrence necessary for procreation and also pleasure between husband and wife. So these are all biological things that God set up and created. And it keeps the connection together. It keeps a mother with their children. It keeps a husband with his wife. It keeps a family with their nation and their tribe. It keeps a friend together with another friend to create a group. These are all just normal occurrences or emotions that come across through us so that we can stay together. God likes unity, and this is what he's done. I mean, this happens with animals. You see how they hang around their children for a certain period of time. There's an emotional connection between that animal and their child. Okay. So the fifth love here is agape love, a godly love. And it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love, or let me say this. Charity is used in the King James Version. So the word charity isn't a good word for us today, because charity means for us today to give money to a cause to help somebody that's poor, or to donate your time to serve food to somebody that's in need. That's what charity means today. But we're talking about godly love in this particular passage, and it's actually defined for us. And so I want to just go through 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, love does not behave rudely, love does not seek its own, which is selfishness, love is not easily provoked, love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, love bears all things, love believes all things, love hopes all things, love endures all things. So we got a whole bunch of attributes of love here. And you can see something within all of this. There is nothing about affection, liking, or anything. All of this is action. All of this is treatment. All of this is character or godly character. So this is the standard for how we must treat each other. When we say we love each other, this is what we should have as the foundation. Now, we can have filio. We can have eros. But the foundation of what God is calling his children to have for one another and to display to the world is agape love, a godly love, the way he loves us. We have to love others. So agape love comes from God's spirit. We read in Galatians 5, I believe, that the fruit of the spirit is love and joy, peace, et cetera, et cetera. So when you get born again, you get the love of God in you. We also know that God is love. The children of God have this love because it's our nature. And the Bible also tells us that we should exercise this love as well, because we also have the flesh that is in opposition to righteousness. And so we end up sometimes not loving people properly. So if everybody loved like God, the world would be a utopia. This is exactly how heaven will be and how the community of true believers is an atmosphere of love. And so it's my wish, and I think many other believers out there and patriarchs, we want to have our own community where we have families and a community of people who love each other. And people in the world can see those people love each other. They represent God on this earth. And that's what God's will is for us, is to show the love of him to the rest of the world. Everybody talking about love. You listen to these love songs, and they don't know what love is. A lot of them got eros. They may have filio, but they don't have agape love flowing through them. And they confuse when they get hurt. They don't understand. I say, why does love hurt so much? I've heard songs that say, you know, with lyrics like that, why does love? Love don't hurt. This is what the world needs. The world needs agape love. The world needs God. Now, I just want to say this about sinners. Can sinners show the love of God? They can. Every human being has been born in the image of God. Even though they've been born into iniquity and sin, they still have a conscience, which is the leftover remnant of God. Okay. And so everybody knows right from wrong. And they know some of the attributes of God. They understand what kindness is. They know what humility is and patience and selflessness and so forth. And so if a child, whether they saved or not, grows up being taught these things, they can express them. And so there are people who have a moral conviction to express some of these attributes, but they're not children of God. And so sinners love each other every now and then. They do. They express the love of God every now. They can be kind. They can be humble. They can be patient. They can be honest. The problem is they lack the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to be consistent in practicing such treatment, and they don't have moral conviction about it either. So they primarily display the attributes of godly love for selfish reasons. So the only reason why they're patient because they want something. Okay, the only reason why they're honest because if they tell the truth, they'll get what they want. You know, otherwise they'll lie. The only reason why they're humble is because they know they can get what they want. You see, this is really the reason why they're displaying these particular attributes. Their motives are not necessarily pure when it comes to that. And the Bible talks about sincerity and love. However, the children of God display godly love consistently because it's in their nature to. They're sincere about it. They're not doing it to get something in return. And they have a strong conviction about it if they don't practice love, the godly love. So this is what I'm saying. This is the difference between a child of God and somebody that's pretending to be or a sinner. They'll keep messing up when it comes to this area of love. They won't be consistent. And while they may start off showing a lot of kindness, you know, it looks like a lot of selflessness, you'll find that, you know, you'll see dishonesty coming up. You'll see arrogance. They may envy you. The children of God are humble. They fight against their pride. They humble themselves often to the point to where they're not arrogant or they don't lead them to be envious of people. Okay. So the Bible also talks about being perfected in love. And so we're all growing in maturity when it comes to love as well. But the difference between a child of God and a sinner is that a sinner is primarily using the attributes of love that's not really in him or her. For selfish gain. They only act right because they want to get something. But the child of God, this is their nature. You know, so you can always tell if you're really a born again child of God, you know who the real children of God are because of how they act. They're honest, they're respectful, they're kind. It don't matter what situation they're in. But however, you'll see a sinner, they'll be like that in certain instances. But if another person comes into their circle that they feel that they're smarter than, or they have more money than, or they'll start treating that person a certain way. You'll see that the shift changes. It's like, what happened? They don't have godly love, because godly love don't discriminate. It loves everybody the same, whether you're rich or poor, educated or not, whatever race, class you're in or whatever, doesn't matter. You see? So that's all I need to say about that. The world needs love. They need this godly love. But it can only be found in God. So in order for the world and people in the world to have this proper love, they need to get born again. They need to have God fill them with his spirit. That's the only way it'll work. But for us, we're commanded as his children to have godly love. And I was going to read you a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So love leads to this unity in the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace. So we're commanded to love because while it's in our nature to do so, this flesh of ours will sometimes rise up and try to prevent that. And so we come against that and say, no, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to treat my brother or sister in Christ the way I want to be treated. And that's what you do. And the Holy Spirit gives you power to do that. So there's no excuse for the saint to be consistently dishonest and rude and unkind and selfish. When I see these attributes consistently on you know, from a person, I question their salvation because they have the Holy Spirit that empowers them. You know, and for them not to be able to walk in that power, there's something wrong. So because agape love is not based on emotion and personal moral convictions, but rather a concrete set of actions and attributes, it has become the standard for all my inner circle relationships. Anyone not consistently displaying godly love is not worthy of being in my inner circle. That's my standard, y'all. You know, and I've ran with that since I studied the, you know, attributes of love. I said, I will not have anybody in my circle that doesn't practice this. And that means that the person that's in my inner circle has to be born again. And so my inner circle is very small because of that. You don't need to be a super mature person. You just need to be born again and a humble person and that really truly believe in Christ and have the Holy Spirit operating you. And there you have it. We'll be able to flow. You know, our conversation will continue. You know, we'll be able to fellowship. You know, but I found people who, once I started talking to them, I just, at some point, it gets cut because they're consistently, they're not showing the attributes of Christ. It just becomes a problem. It becomes offensive. And so we have to cut the relationship off because they don't follow the Lord. They command, they say they're Christian. They say they're followers of God. How come you don't act like Jesus? So that's all I got for you today. There's five different loves that the Greek kind of exposes. Some say seven. I've been online and I've seen other ones like self-love and different things of that nature. So they have a term for that. So I love the Greek language because it's very expressive. And so you know exactly what you're feeling and you can label it. With love from the English dictionary, it's just one word for everything. You love pizza and you also want to have sex. I mean, how is that the same thing? These are not the same loves. A love for your family members ain't the same love you have for your spouse or for your children or for food or for some particular item that you use often. It's just not the same thing. So I appreciate the Greek language giving us variations to express ourselves. So once again, we got agapeo, which is a general love. When we say we love something or someone, that's kind of what it means to be fond of them, basically, or to be pleased with an item or say we like pizza or chocolate or something like that. We're fond of that. That's all it means. OK, then you have storge, which is a family affection. This is a emotion that creates a bond between your family members, spouse and children and parents. Filio is a deeper connection, which is, it don't necessarily have to be with blood relatives, but anybody that you have affection for, okay? That's what it's called. And then you have eros, which is the next level with the opposite sex, where there's a sexual attraction, a desire, and it's an affection there as well. And then finally, we got the agape love, which has nothing to do with feeling, has nothing to do with sex, has everything to do with the treatment of a person. And once again, there's about 15 to 16 attributes, depending on which Bible version you're reading from. Once again, love is patient, or godly love is patient. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. Agape does not envy people. Agape does not parade itself. Love does not seek its own. So in other words, love is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. You can't piss a person that has the love of God in them off very easily. They don't just jump and get angry and just nut up and do something crazy. They just don't do that. They're slow to anger, as the Bible says in Proverbs. They think no evil. They don't focus on evil intentions of people. They don't go around doing that. A person with the love of God is not like that. They don't rejoice in iniquity, which is evil and sin. The love of a godly person does not love sin. They don't rejoice in sin at all. They fall into it. They're not happy about it. You know, but sinners, you know, they do that. Okay. And he says, but they rejoice in the truth. So they love the truth. And so they are honest. They are honest people. Doesn't mean they tell all their business, but they are honest people. And it goes on to say, love bears all things. When you look up this word bear, it means to cover, which means this. When somebody tell you something private, you don't spread all this stuff across town. Okay. Love doesn't gossip. And you know, there's links to articles about each one of these attributes, most of these attributes on my site. You can read about gossip. You can read about envy, all of those different things on my site. But it goes on to say love believes all things, which means in another translation to be trusting. OK, this is usually after somebody done something. We trust each other. We don't act like everybody's suspicious. I've felt that from people where they treat you like you this wicked individual. Nothing what you're saying is true. That's not love. Okay. And it's usually come from rumors, you know, somebody, so they just don't, they don't believe it. You can't do that to people. You know, if somebody is a brother and sister in Christ and they've repented of their sins, they're no longer that certain person. You cannot hold them to this thing where they just, you know, you don't trust them and stuff like that. We trust each other. It hopes all things. In other languages or Bible versions, it means hope for the best. So we don't hope somebody fail. Especially a brother or sister in Christ. We don't hope that. We hope for the best. We have a positive mindset about them. We hope that they're going to make it. We hope they're going to do the best they can, you know. And then finally, godly love endures all things. So we endure to the end. We don't give up. Okay, just like the beginning attribute is we're patient, but we never give up. We have this endurance factor where we keep going, you know, and we need that to continue on. You know, so these are the attributes of agape love. And this is what the foundation is for every believer in Christ. Okay? It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with sex or desire, anything like that. This is all behavior. This is all a character of God that's in you and how you treat people. That's what it's about. So hopefully I've helped you understand the differences of the different types of love. And now you can, you know, label what you feel at certain times about certain people and kind of categorize what's going on there. Till next time, walk in the Spirit. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love the world. When you go out, show the love of God. It's a witness and a testimony to how good God is. They see that you don't treat them like the rest of the world treats them. And I've been a witness to people. I've loved the world, and they responded. They say, "Man, I like being around you because you're not like these other people. I can tell you stuff. I have people tell me all their business and stuff. It's amazing to me. They know I'm not gonna gossip and spread it all over town. They just know that. They know I'm kind. I'm patient. I'll listen to them. You know, I have a sympathetic understanding. But this is the Holy Spirit's power working through me, and I give glory to God for that. You know, but you're his child, and by nature, you're going to act like him. So embrace that and always understand that just because you're like that doesn't mean the person that you're dealing with, especially if they're not claiming to be a child of God, that they're going to give that back to you. So always understand that. I was ignorant when I first became a child of God and I was in the church system, and I thought that these people were Christians and I would love them, but they wouldn't love me in return. It was weird. I said, "Why won't you, you know, be kind? Why won't you be respectful? Why won't you be honest? You know, why are you envious of me? I don't envy you. I'm happy that you got this and that. Why? What's wrong with you?" The problem was these people were not born again. So once again, you can tell somebody's a child of God by their love, their godly love. What? Look at this. Look at their agape. Is it present? Are they consistent in it? And when they are called to the floor and say, "Hey, you did this wrong," what's their response? Are they humble? Did they confess their sins? If not, they're not a child of God. They get proud and "I ain't do nothing wrong. Get out of my face," you know, and they try to hurt you for even calling out their mess. Like, it's an indication they're not children of God. So until next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed.